Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me. The Lord said to her in reply, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There's need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Today's Gospel scene of Jesus' encounter with Martha and Mary in their house in Bethany, where they would normally welcome him, allow us to see two very important aspects of the Holy Rosary on this feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. Both Martha and Mary loved Jesus very much, and both of them had invited them there out of love. Martha, out of love, was trying to serve the Lord Jesus. She knew he would be hungry. He often did indeed. It was much more work in the ancient world than it is today. We have stoves today. We have refrigerators today. We have pantries today. We have vacuum cleaners today. We have running water in a house to clean off tables today. To serve in the ancient world was a big-time challenge. There was a lot of work involved. Yet Martha, out of love for Jesus, was willing to do all that work. Yet she missed one thing, which is very important. Jesus came to their house to feed before being fed, to serve rather than to be served. It was only Mary who grasped that lesson as she sat at his feet, contemplating his face, listening to his words. She had chosen that better part. She grasped that there's only really one necessary thing in life, which is to allow God to do his work in us and to respond fully. Martha was so concerned about loving the Lord with her own effort that she was, by doing so, failing to allow herself to be served and loved by the Lord. First lesson we learn on this Feast of the Holy Rosary is that it's absolutely essential for us to sit at Jesus' feet like Mary of Bethany and contemplate Jesus and listen to his words. That's precisely what we do with Mary of Nazareth in her school, which is the school of the Holy Rosary. We contemplate Jesus as a one-cell human embryo attached to his divine person in the womb, growing there. We contemplate Jesus making John the Baptist leap in Elizabeth's womb. We contemplate Jesus as she contemplated him in the mystery of his birth. We contemplate Jesus in Simeon's arms, as Simeon was blessing God and predicting that he would be a sign of contradiction. We contemplate Jesus as he's dazzling, as a 12-year-old, all the scholars of the law in the temple. We contemplate him in his baptism when God the Father spoke and the Holy Spirit came down. We contemplate him blessing every marriage, as he did in Cana of Galilee. We contemplate him calling us to conversion because the kingdom is here. We contemplate him with Mary, transfigured on the top of Mount Tabor, and listen to him. We contemplate him as he does what he does every day here, institute the Holy Eucharist and offer himself to us. We contemplate him as he sweat blood in the garden. We contemplate him with his back lacerated at the scourging. We contemplate him carrying his cross. We contemplate him crowned with thorns. We contemplate him, as we see back there, dying for us in our salvation. We contemplate him leaving the empty tomb, sending to his Father's right hand, sending us the Holy Spirit, summoning up his mother and crowning her. The rosary is all about contemplating the blessed fruit of Mary's womb in all the stages of his life. As we begin to contemplate him, we change. And that leads to the second part of this gospel and how it pertains to the rosary. It's through the meditation on these mysteries that we begin to look at the entire world differently. We begin capable of true service, not apart from Christ or even for Christ, but with Christ. St. John Paul II, when he wrote his beautiful apostolic exhortation, The Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which I'd encourage you to read again today. It's a real spirituality of praying the rosary, and it wouldn't take you long, probably a half hour. He said, how can we contemplate Jesus as a little boy in Mary's womb and in a manger and not change with the way we want to serve all those women who are pregnant or have just given birth? How can we contemplate Jesus in the mysteries of his light without pondering how living according to the Beatitudes brings us to dwell in that light? How can we contemplate Jesus suffering and not seek to become Simons of Cyrene, caring for all of those in travail? How can we contemplate Jesus in glory without having a much greater hunger for heaven and for living according to the Holy Spirit who's been sent down to us precisely to help us to live for heaven? Contemplating Christ gives us a new way of contemplating everything that happens in the world. Because in our life, we're going to have joyful mysteries. Well, we'll say, what did I ever do to deserve this? We're going to have sorrowful mysteries, in which we're going to say, what did I ever do to deserve this? We're going to have luminous mysteries. The luminous mysteries are all about our sacraments, right? Contemplating Jesus' baptism. We contemplate our baptism. Contemplating the wedding at Cana. How can we not contemplate every marriage we've known that was sacramental? Contemplating Jesus' preaching conversion. How can't we contemplate the sacrament of confession? Contemplating the institution of the Eucharist. How can't we enter even more in? And likewise, there will be, we pray, glorious mysteries. Not the fleeting glory of the world, the 15 minutes or seconds of fame that we might get, but contemplating eternal glory, where Mary is crowned Queen of Heaven and Earth, and we pray to be crowned with an imperishable wreath. The rosary changes our entire way of looking at things. St. Paul, in the first reading today, contemplated the mystery of his own conversion. How great a sinner he was, how great a persecutor he was. But the Lord met him on that road to Damascus, and he called him to conversion. And at the very end, the Christians in the early church were glorifying God, because the one who was once persecuting us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. As we enter into the mysteries of the rosary, we hear the Lord constantly calling us to enter into these mysteries of salvation, just like Paul himself had experienced. There's another great key. Second Vatican Council taught us very clearly that if we wish to understand ourselves, the only way we're going to solve that puzzle, remedy that enigma, is through Christ, who fully reveals the human person to himself and makes a supreme calling clear. And unless we unselfishly give ourselves to others like Christ has for us, we won't discover who we are, because it's only in that mystery of entering into Jesus' self-giving that we become fully human. That's what we were praying about in the responsorial psalm today. O Lord, you have probed me, you know when I sit and when I stand, you understand all my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my journeys and my rest, you're familiar with all my way. You form me in my inmost being, knit me in my mother's womb. We begin to understand God's role in our life the more we penetrate into the mystery of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit and God the Son's life born of the Virgin. The rosary is really key if we pray it right for us to be able to understand ourselves. Pope Francis has been begging us to pray the rosary. He calls all of us to pray the rosary every day, saying that it's a crucially important school for us to enter. It's a school that's meant to take us through the mysteries of life to the mysteries of glory. I want to finish with one image. It's an image I've never been able to forget, having given and led many tours to the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican. You've got the Last Judgment there of Michelangelo, painted in 1538. Jesus is there in the very act of judging, Mary seated right beside him. On his left, you've got all of those being led to hell. And on his right, you've got all those being lifted toward heaven. And there have been many times where we've seen those dramatic rescue scenes of helicopters saving someone in the ocean, or in the middle of a lake, or in the middle of a frozen river that nobody can get to. How the helicopters lower down that lifeline and lift the person up to safety. And there Michelangelo in 1538, when he wanted to portray how we're rescued from sin and lifted up toward God forever, used a lifeline. A lifeline looked just like this. It was a set of rosary beads that the saints and the angels were holding out to us here on earth so that we could grasp on and be lifted upward. That's precisely what we do when we pray the rosary. We grasp on to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who out of love as our mother is seeking to rescue us and to lift us toward her Son's eternal right side. Today, again, Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, drops down this great gift for us. Let us reach up as we prepare to lift up our hearts. Grasp onto this gift and allow her in that school to teach us about her Son, to teach us about ourselves, and to teach us the way that leads to eternal glory. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.